there. Ready to dive into something really impactful for your business today?
Hope so.
We're looking at what's, well, arguably the most powerful growth strategy out there, often overlooked, though.
Definitely.
Referrals. We've got a whole stack of insights here, and we're going to break down how you can make referrals predictable, scalable, even.
Yeah, not just something that, you know, randomly rocks up now and then.
Exactly. We want a system.
And it's so crucial. This topic doesn't really matter what size your business is or what industry you're in.
Right.
These core ideas, the principles behind it all, they're pretty universal. It's really about tapping into, well, human nature, but doing it authentically for business growth.
Okay. So as we get into this deep dive, the big question for you listening is this: how can you actually generate more referrals? And not just more, but better ones, faster ones.
Let's figure it out.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So first things first. Why are referrals often called, like, business gold?
Good starting point.
Yeah, if you stop and think, what is it that makes them so incredibly attractive? Well, number one, they are often free. Or, you know, almost free. Very low acquisition cost.
Which is always good for the bottom line, right?
Always. Second, they tend to bring in your ideal clients.
Yes.
Because the person doing the referring, they usually get what you do and who you do it best for.
They've pre-qualified them in a way.
Yeah, exactly. And third, these leads are just so warm. It's almost, well, someone said like shooting fish in a barrel.
Huh. Maybe not that easy, but yeah.
But the point is, the new client walks in already trusting you, often just based on what their friend or colleague said. They haven't even met you yet.
And the psychology behind why people actually like giving referrals is fascinating too.
Tell me more.
Well, we're social creatures, aren't we? We like connecting people. Making introductions feels good.
True.
If we've had a great experience or something really helped us, we kind of naturally want to share that, share the benefit.
Or you want your friends to know about the good stuff.
Exactly. It's partly a way to say thank you to the business, sure.
Yeah.
But it's also genuinely about helping someone else out.
Mm.
And let's be honest, there's maybe a little bit of showing off your network involved, too.
The social capital aspect. Look who I know.
Precisely. It shows you've got good connections, valuable ones.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not just ego. It's about being seen as a helpful, knowledgeable connector. Okay, so obviously delivering great service is the baseline. You have to do that.
Table stakes.
But building a real referral system, something effective that goes way deeper, we've sort of identified 8 key pillars, let's call them, for a real referral revolution in your business.
Okay, 8 pillars.
And the first one, absolutely crucial, is engagement.
Engagement. What do we mean by that exactly?
It means you've got to stand out. You have to make your business, your service, talkable.
Talkable. I like that.
People should be so impressed, so wowed by their experience, they actually want to bring it up at, say, a dinner party.
Right. Oh, you'll never guess what happened with these guys.
Exactly. That kind of reaction. There's a great story, Elliot's Magic Ticket.
Oh, yeah. I know that one. Jeff Ram, right?
That's the one. He built his whole speaking career on it. His 5-year-old son, Elliot, wanted a ticket for a train ride, but he was too young, didn't need one technically.
Mm-hmm.
The ticket lady saw he was disappointed, took a blank ticket, wrote Elliot's Magic Ticket on it, gave it to him. Simple.
But brilliant. So unexpected.
Jeff was blown away, put it on social media, and went viral. That one exceptional, thoughtful act became his cornerstone story.
It's those little unexpected moments of brilliance.
Totally. Or like the Disney chef story. Heard about that. Kid with a restricted diet.
Yeah, the apple pancakes.
The chef went out herself, bought the special ingredients, made them just for him. That gets talked about. It stands out because it's exceptional.
And this isn't just for big companies like Disney. I know a local removals firm, Ron Grant. No website.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Really? In this day and age?
Nope. But people literally change their moving dates to use him.
Mm.
His service is just unbelievable.
Wow. What does he do that's so special?
He just over-delivers massively. He might say, look, for an extra 500 pounds, I can basically save you a week's worth of hassle and packing.
Wow.
And people say it's the best money they ever spent.
So it's extreme over-delivery.
Exactly. It reminds me of that Disney queue thing, too. You know?
Oh, where they say 45 minutes, but it's usually 30.
Yeah. They under-promise and over-deliver. Manage expectations, then beat them. It makes the experience feel even better. More talkable.
And when something's talkable, people want to share it. It reflects well on them. Like Tom's shoes.
The buy one, give one model. Classic.
Right. Someone says, nice shoes, and you get to say, thanks. And because I bought these, a kid somewhere got a pair, too.
Makes you feel good sharing that. Makes you look good.
Exactly. It makes you seem cool, generous, aligned with certain values. But the key thing here, I think...
Authenticity.
Yes, it has to be genuine. It can't just be some marketing gimmick. It needs to align with who you actually are as a business.
Spot on. It has to feel real.
Okay, so making it talkable through engagement. What's next? Well, building on that, there's another huge psychological lever, reciprocity.
Cialdini territory. Influence. Powerful stuff.
One of the most powerful principles in life, definitely in business. Cialdini, yeah, he did that Christmas card experiment, didn't he?
Sent cards to total strangers.
Yeah, like 50 strangers, and something like 75% sent one back, just because they felt this obligation to reciprocate.
Incredible. It's so deeply ingrained.
Even more powerful, that story about Ethiopia.
Oh, sending aid to Mexico, when Ethiopia itself was struggling.
In the 80s, yeah. They sent 5,000 pounds. Why? Because Mexico had helped them way back in 1935.
50 years earlier.
50 years. They'd been waiting for a chance to repay that kindness. That's the power of reciprocity. It's immense.
It really is. And it's not just about these grand gestures. Small things trigger it too, especially in business. Cialdini also showed asking people to fill out a long survey.
Like half an hour long? Most say no, right?
Right. But give them a can of Coke before you ask.
And suddenly everyone's happy to help.
Pretty much. That tiny, unexpected gift dramatically increases compliance. It triggers that reciprocity urge.
So how do we create that in our business? Thoughtfully.
Well, gifting books can work really well. We found that.
Thanks.
Yeah, a relevant, genuinely helpful book. Maybe one you wrote, signed. It creates real gratitude. Better yet, give two copies.
Q. Why two?
Tell them to pass the second one on to someone they think would benefit. It becomes like the best business card ever. A gift they give, which reminds them of you.
That's clever. So the gift itself becomes shareable. It keeps the reciprocity going.
Exactly. And you can be strategic about when you give gifts.
Mm.
Integrate it into the client journey.
Ah, so maybe you'd send a specific book at a particular point.
And then maybe a week later, when that warm, fuzzy feeling of reciprocity is still strong.
That's when you might mention your referral program or invite them to a referral event.
Precisely. They're much more receptive then. Mm. We used to give port at Christmas.
Port.
Yeah, it served two purposes. Drove reciprocity, obviously. But it was also quite talkable. People would share it with guests over Christmas, and naturally, our name might come up.
Very smart. Okay, so engagement makes you talkable. Reciprocity creates an obligation. What's pillar number three?
This one's linked, I think. It's consistency.
Consistency, how so?
People have this deep-seated need to be consistent with what they've previously said or done. They really value staying true to their word.
Right. We don't like appearing flaky or contradictory.
Exactly. And you can leverage this, ethically, of course, for referrals. Imagine asking a brand new client fairly early on.
Like when they're just signing up.
Yeah, something like, look, assuming we do a great job for you and you're happy with our service, we will probably ask you down the line if you know anyone else we could help. Would that be okay?
That's a very easy yes at that stage, isn't it? They're excited. They trust you.
Exactly. But then later on, when you do ask for referrals,
it's much harder for them to say no because they already agreed in principle.
Precisely. It would be inconsistent with what they said earlier. It gently preconditions them. We've even had clients turn up to meetings with a list ready.
Because you set that expectation early on. Wow.
It shows how driven people are to align their actions with their past statements. Reminds me of another Cialdini example. The road safety sign.
Oh, the huge, ugly sign.
That's the one. They asked homeowners first, do you support road safety? Of course, nearly everyone says yes.
Standard answer.
Then a week later, they come back. Would you put this massive, frankly horrible, drive carefully sign on your front lawn?
And people actually agreed.
A surprising number did, because they'd already verbally committed to the idea of road safety. Refusing the sign would feel inconsistent with their stated belief. It's subtle, but powerful.
Wow. Okay, so engage them. Create reciprocity. Leverage consistency. Where do we go next? This is key. What's in it for the referrer?
Right. Why should they bother? What's the actual benefit to them for making that introduction?
It can't just be a one-way street, can it?
No. And sometimes it ties back to what Seth Godin talks about, people wanting to be part of a community, a tribe.
Mm-hmm. Showing off their connections again.
Partly, yeah. Contributing to something they value. Seeing it grow, sometimes the satisfaction of helping is enough, but often a tangible incentive helps.
Before we talk specific incentives, though, we need to understand the lifetime value of a client.
Absolutely critical. Not just the first sale, the total revenue you expect over the entire relationship.
Because once you know that number,
you can confidently decide how much you can and should invest in acquiring a new client through a referral. I heard about a business where one new client was worth like £1 million over their lifetime.
£1 million. Wow.
So when someone referred a client like that, guess what they sent the referrer as a thank you?
I dread to think. A car.
A 20,000-pound luxury cruise.
Get out. 20,000 pounds.
Sounds crazy, right? But if you know you're getting $1 million back long term, spending 20 grand to get them, it's a no-brainer. Makes perfect business sense.
Okay. That definitely puts incentives into perspective. Okay. So for more normal businesses, what kind of incentives actually work?
Well, the common ones are things like Amazon vouchers, John Lewis vouchers.
Yeah, practical stuff.
Cases of wine often go down well. We found magnums of champagne were particularly good.
Magnums. Why magnums specifically?
Because they feel special, more celebratory. And crucially, you don't usually drink a magnum on your own.
Ah, so it gets shared.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which makes it talkable. Again, yeah. To share with friends, family. Oh, where'd you get this? Huh? Actually, it was a thank you from.
Let's see.
Clever.
Connects back nicely. And do you tell people about the incentive beforehand or surprise them?
Both can work. We had one client who just kept referring people because he loved getting John Lewis vouchers. He knew what was coming.
He was motivated.
Totally. But sometimes making it a surprise is really powerful. That unexpected, wow, that's amazing, thank you, can really stick with people. Makes them think, huh, I should do that again.
Creates a really positive association. What about experiences?
Experiences are great, too. We used to do a referral dinner.
Tell me about that.
Once a year, a really nice meal, Michelin star level, for everyone who'd referred us a client that year, including, importantly, professional connections, accountants, solicitors, etc.
Must have cost a bit.
Maybe 200 pounds, 250 pounds a head, something like that. But think about it. If just one person at that dinner leads to a new client worth 10,000 pounds, it pays for itself many times over.
Easily.
Plus, the people who came. If they enjoyed it, they're already thinking, right, who can I refer next year so I get invited back? Creates a virtuous cycle.
Okay, incentivizing the refer. Makes sense. But now let's flip it. What about what's in it for the referral, the person being referred?
Yes. This can actually be even more powerful sometimes.
Why is that?
Because it removes any potential awkwardness for the refer. They don't have to worry. Their friend thinks, oh, he's only doing this because he wants another voucher.
Right. It shifts the focus. The benefit goes to the new person.
Exactly. We did something called a dream retirement dinner.
Sounds intriguing.
The person who was referred got invited to this lovely meal, learned a bit about the firm in a relaxed setting. No pressure. Even if it wasn't the right fit for them, ultimately, they still got a really nice evening out. A benefit just for exploring it.
That's a nice touch. Takes the pressure off.
Another way is giving the referrer things they can pass on, like gift cards they can write a personal note on, maybe sending it with a book we provide.
Ah, so the referrer looks good like they're giving a thoughtful gift.
Exactly. The referrer looks like a hero, and the referral gets something genuinely useful, like a free book. Win-win.
Or maybe offering a discount. Like, our first meeting normally costs $297, but because Sarah referred you, it's complimentary.
Yes, makes the referral look good again. I got you a deal. And gives the referral a clear, tangible benefit right from the start.
It frames the whole interaction positively.
I had laser eye surgery years ago, and the referral thing was interesting. The referrer got a little gift, used to be a back massage pre-COVID, and a cuddly toy during COVID. But the person I referred, they got a discount on their surgery. And the company actually told me they found that worked much better than giving a bigger incentive to me.
Interesting. So making the new person feel valued immediately paid off more.
Seemed that way, yeah. Started the relationship off really well.
Okay, brilliant. So we've covered the why, the psychology, incentives for both sides. But none of this works if it's a pain to do, right?
Absolutely. Which brings us to pillar number 6, make it easy.
Crucial. Any friction, anything that gets in the way.
Just stops it happening. People are busy. They might mean to refer you, but if it's complicated, they just won't get around to it.
So how do we remove those barriers, make it super simple?
Well, you could have a dedicated page on your website, maybe with a little video explaining the referral program.
Good idea. And a simple form that can fill in right there.
Exactly. Name, email of the person they're referring, maybe a quick note. Done.
Or even through your content, like newsletters or blog posts.
Yeah. Make it easy for someone to just hit forward and say, hey, read this article, thought of you. That's basically a referral in motion right there. Effortless.
Take seconds.
Another idea, physically put a referral form in, say, an annual review pack, especially if you do client workshops or reviews face-to-face.
Ah, so while you're discussing things, maybe mentioning how much you value referrals.
The actual form is sitting right there in front of them. Makes it incredibly easy to act on the thought, oh yeah, I should mention Bob. Less friction, higher chance they'll do it.
Makes sense. Keep it simple. Okay, next up, follow-up in leverage networks.
Two parts here, really. Follow-up is about professionalism.
Doing what you say you'll do, having a smooth process.
Exactly. If someone refers a person to you, you need a standard process. The team knows what to do.
Like what?
Like the referrer always gets a thank you, maybe an email straight away, then perhaps the incentive later.
Acknowledgement is key.
And the person who's been referred.
Yeah.
They get the VIP treatment immediately. Quick contact, make them feel special. It reflects well on you and the referrer, ensures a good experience all around.
Right. And the second part? Leveraging networks.
This is about being proactive, not just waiting for referrals to land in your lap.
Like asking people.
Yes. And leveraging the connections they already have.
Yeah.
Think about this deep dive. How we get guests, people often ask.
And the answer is usually.
We just ask every guest. Who else do you know who'd be a great fit for this? We hardly ever do cold outreach.
Because people generally like to help connect people.
They do. They often want to show off their network, especially if you make it easy and handle the introduction professionally.
And you can do this with events too, right?
Oh, definitely. Event-based leveraging is fantastic. We used to run golf days.
Classic corporate event.
But with a twist. We'd invite our best clients or referrers and ask them to bring someone they thought would benefit from knowing us. We'd structure it as teams of pairs.
So automatically, 50% of the attendees are potential new clients.
Exactly. And they're there with someone they trust, having a nice day out, seeing your community in action.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Smart. What else worked?
Pub quizzes were great. Teams of four encourage people to bring another couple. Low-key, fun.
Nice.
Box at the races, cricket days. Invite a friendly solicitor or accountant.
Yeah.
Suggest they bring one of their clients. Creates mutual benefit.
Cross-pollination.
One that worked surprisingly well, especially online during lockdowns, was wine tasting.
Online wine tasting. How did that work for referrals?
We'd send out the wine packs. And we'd encourage attendees to invite another couple from their network to join them on the Zoom call. We just send double the wine to their house.
Ah, brilliant. Very easy for them to invite friends then.
Super easy. Fun, social, great way to meet new people in a relaxed context. It's an invitation to connect, not a hard sell.
Love it.
And really key tip here, I think, is language. Always ask for an introduction, not a referral.
Introduction, not referral. Why the difference?
Referral sounds a bit transactional. Salesy, introduction is much softer. Lower pressure. Hey, would you mind introducing me to Sarah? I see you're connected on LinkedIn. It just feels easier to agree to.
Good distinction. Softens the ask.
You can use LinkedIn strategically like that. Saw you know X, mind introducing us.
Yeah.
Or a really powerful one in professional services, like financial planning or legal.
Go on.
When doing estate planning, ask clients about their chosen trustees.
Okay, the people managing the trust.
Yeah, these are often the people your client trusts most in the world. Often financially successful, well-connected people themselves.
Right, a high-quality network right there.
And you have a perfectly natural reason and excuse to meet them. You need to invite them in for a signing meeting anyway.
Okay. So you get to meet them organically.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe you send them a little guide to being a trustee beforehand. Helpful. Adds value.
And subtly showcases your expertise.
Precisely. And quite often, reading that guide makes them realize they need to sort out their own trust planning. It leads to incredibly warm, powerful introductions, often without you even explicitly asking. Because you provided value first.
That's really smart. Okay, eighth and final pillar.
It holds it all together. Automation and measurement.
Systemization.
Got it. You need to build the process, trust the process, make it happen every single time. Not just when you remember. It needs to be baked in.
How do you make it happen every time?
But find natural excuses or touch points to talk about referrals repeatedly, but gently. Mention the referral dinner in your workshops. Include a line about it in certain client letters. Weave it into conversations. Keep it top of mind without being pushy.
Constant gentle reinforcement.
And track it. As the old saying goes, what gets measured gets done, or managed at least.
So know your numbers.
Definitely. Categorize your referrals. Are they coming from existing clients, professional connections, other sources? Track them using a simple referral register spreadsheet, CRM, whatever works.
So you know what's actually effective.
Exactly. You can see trends, figure out what needs tweaking. You manage it like any other critical business process.
And when's the best time to actually ask for a referral? Is there a golden moment?
Often, it's when clients are happiest, when they really get what you do and buy into it the most.
Like just after they've seen an amazing plan you built for them, or just said yes to becoming a client.
Yeah, peak enthusiasm, peak trust.
Yeah.
That's a great time. But honestly, it's not a one-shot deal. It can happen multiple times throughout a long-term client relationship.
Because you're building that relationship constantly.
Exactly. It's an ongoing conversation, part of the value exchange.
Okay, that's the 8 pillars. Really comprehensive. Now, how could someone listening structure this? Let's think about maybe 6 key stages of a referral journey, a practical framework.
Good idea. Make it actionable.
Okay, stage 1. Maybe right at the first point of contact, even before they're a client.
How would that work?
You could just subtly mention it. You know, most of our best clients come to us through referrals, just like you did. Or we've grown primarily through word of mouth. It just plants a seed, preconditions them.
Makes it feel normal later on. Okay, stage 2.
As soon as they say yes, they sign on the dotted line.
That's when you hit them with the consistency principle.
It's exactly. That low pressure ask, great. Just so you know, assuming we do a fantastic job, we'll likely ask later if you know others who might benefit. Is that okay? Sets the expectation.
Easy yes.
Stage 3.
On signup. Or very shortly after. They're fully committed, feeling good.
Now's the time for a more direct ask.
Could be. Now that you're on board, who else springs to mind who could really use this kind of help? Maybe even reference specific people if you know their network.
Making it concrete for them. Okay, stage 4.
Post signup. Maybe a week or two later.
Send that gift. The book, maybe?
Yes. Trigger reciprocity. And then follow up with the referral form, maybe those blank cards we talked about. Give them the tools.
Strike while the iron is hot and make it easy. Stage 5. Recurring. This isn't just a one-time thing at the start.
Building it into the ongoing relationship.
Yeah. Annual referral drives, maybe linked to that referral dinner. Regular conversations. Checking in. Anyone you've spoken to recently who might find this useful, keep it alive.
Makes sense. And the final stage, stage 6.
Has to be measurement.
Always. Keep that referral register up to date. Track where they come from, who converts. Constantly review what's working.
Perfect. 6 clear stages. Now, let's make it even more concrete. How does this look in practice? Let's use our trusted team model as an example of the framework we use to illustrate these ideas.
Okay, walking through the trusted team's referral process using those stages.
Right. So, stage 1. New client contact, they mentioned explicitly, our team goes mainly through referrals. Sets the scene.
Stage 2, post-engagement, once the client agrees to join. In the welcome pack, there's a flyer detailing referral bonuses and an offer for a free book gift.
Stage 3, on sign-up. They ask specifically, who else would benefit from this workshop? And maybe more targeted. Is there an accountant or solicitor you work with who you'd like to buddy up with in the workshop?
Encouraging collaboration. Nice. Stage 4, post signup. They give a copy of their book, maybe in a gift pack.
Yeah.
And critically, include the referral form and blank cards.
Making it super easy again. Stage 5, recurring. They have a dedicated annual referral drive, often tied to their September workshop. They offer gift cards and books then, plus it's part of regular check-in conversations.
And stage 6, measurement. They use their standard referral register to track everything meticulously.
So it's embedded right through their process.
And what about those referral bonuses they mentioned in the flyer? What do they actually offer?
Yeah, good question. It's tiered, which is interesting.
Tiered how?
So if you refer someone, but that person doesn't end up joining the trusted team.
You still get something for the effort.
Exactly. You get a choice of certain free business books, or they offer to do a collaborative event, like being a guest speaker at your client event, or you can invite a guest free to the next workshop.
So, still valuable, acknowledges the effort.
Nice.
And if the person does join.
Then the rewards ramp up. The referrer gets a month of their own membership free, plus an invite to that exclusive annual referral dinner, and access to a free bonus course, like an AI masterclass or something topical.
Significant rewards for a successful conversion, but still valuing the attempt. That's smart. Builds goodwill.
Totally. And one last little thing. They do their workshop feedback form.
Yeah.
Right at the bottom, there's a space. Do you know anyone else who would benefit from attending? If so, please jot down their names here.
Catching people right when they're thinking about the value they just received makes it incredibly easy to act on that impulse. Very clever.
So putting it all together, implementing these kinds of strategies, these pillars, these stages,
yeah.
It moves you, doesn't it? From just, you know, hoping referrals turn up,
to actually having a predictable, scalable system, something you can rely on to bring in those ideal clients.
Yeah, consistently. It's about like engineering serendipity in a way.
I like that. Engineering serendipity. So maybe a final thought for everyone listening to Mull Over.
Go for it.
Considering the incredible power of getting these warm, ideal clients, often at little or no cost, and thinking about that impact of delightful, unexpected service, what's one small, maybe even tiny, exceptional act you could build into your service this week? Something authentic to you that would make your business genuinely talkable.
What's that one little thing that can make someone say, wow?
Exactly. Something that makes them want to share their experience because it made them feel, well, special.
That is a perfect question to ponder, a fantastic place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. We really hope you can take these principles, apply them, and start your own referral revolution.
Thanks for listening.